Get the buzz and be seen at chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. Now, welcome to Today's Business with Sharon Hill on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
This is Sharon Hill, president of Sharon Hill International. Welcome to Today's Business on 1360 WCHL. I'm talking today with Mr. Patrick Haggerty, enrolled agent, whose firm offers comprehensive and personalized tax preparation, planning, and consulting services. Pat specializes in representing taxpayers before the IRS. Pat, thank you for coming and talking to me today.
Hello, Sharon, and thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Pat, I introduced you as an enrolled agent. What does enrolled agent mean?
Well, enrolled agents are tax professionals who are licensed by the U.S. Treasury Department to represent taxpayers in proceedings before the IRS. Generally, this means that enrolled agents may represent taxpayers in audits, in collection situation, and also in appeals. Some enrolled agents are also enrolled to represent taxpayers in the tax court. Most of us are not. That's a specialized area, and generally that's reserved for attorneys. But very often the attorneys will hire an enrolled agent to prepare the information and do the research on the taxes.
Oh, I see.
So, before going in. So enrolled agents, in order to obtain that license, enrolled agents either pass a two-day examination dealing with federal taxation, or rather, it's changed now. It's computerized.
I can believe
that. It's got three parts, and you take three parts at different times, but the same three parts that we had when I took it. The three parts, of course, are individual taxation, business and entity taxation, and then representation and ethics and IRS procedures. So three parts specifically related to taxation, and then they go through an extensive background check. Now, this is distinguished from the registered tax preparers, which is a new designation, or registered tax return preparer, which is a new designation this year. And this is anybody who is not an enrolled agent or is not a certified public accountant or who is not an attorney and who is preparing income tax returns as a paid preparer, who's getting compensation for preparing tax returns. They need to be registered now as of January 1 in order to prepare returns. Prior to that, the only regulated tax practitioners in North Carolina, some states were regulating them already, were enrolled agents, certified public accountants, and attorneys.
Got it. You mentioned what an enrolled agent is based on my question. When we were talking before we started recording, you gave me a story about an enrolled agent from way back around the Civil War time.
Yes. This was before it was related to taxes. Actually, it was some years after the Civil War was over. During the war, when the Army moved through an area, there was a lot of damage that occurred to personal property. There was food or animals, horses, for example, might be confiscated or appropriated by the military as it was moving through an area. And citizens, and this was kind of problematic as to who citizens would be considered.
Right.
But citizens who were not in rebellion were entitled to be compensated for things that they lost during the war, and they could file claims with the U.S. Treasury, and if those claims seemed to be warranted, the Treasury would compensate them for what was taken.
Okay.
And some of the claims obviously became, you know, the old nag was about ready to fall apart and might walk two more steps, suddenly became a champion thoroughbred racehorse.
I believe
it. And things of that nature. But the other issue was that there were people going around telling other, you know, telling people who had lost stuff that they could help them file their claim and get money from the government. And they would collect money, like an upfront retainer or whatever, from people and then disappear.
Disappear.
And so around 1884, the U.S. Treasury decided that they were actually going to license people to do that. They called it enrollment. They were going to enroll people that they had done checked out or deemed to be knowledgeable enough and honest enough to represent the citizens and their claims for these war reparations. The interesting story is, and I don't know if there's a connection here or not.
Okay.
I'm not saying it, but the timing was about right.
Uh-huh.
But there was a woman who was from New York. She was 25 at the time in 1865 in April. I believe it was April 7th when the troops came through on her property. She lived in Smithfield down in Johnson County. And her name was Fanny Secor Michener. She had married a man who had a plantation down in Smithfield. He had brought her down. She had been 21 years old in 1859. He brought her down to teach school at a private school, and she married him, and he died a year after they got married.
My goodness.
Anyway, she was still on the estate because she had two small children to take care of that were from his previous marriage. And if she left the estate under the terms of his will, she wouldn't be able to reside there anymore. The kids wouldn't be able to reside there and so on. So she had remained on the estate throughout the war because of the terms of the will and not being having a place to go.
Right.
Anyway, when Sherman's troops came through, actually it was Alpheus Williams' division that was coming through in that area. Williams had been in command at Bentonville on the Union side. And as they were coming up, a scout rode up and told Williams that there was a loyal New York lady who was asking for some protection from the troops, and hopefully they wouldn't destroy her property or take her property. And asking if it should be checked out.
Mm-hmm.
And Williams' provost marshal, a man named Henry Gildersleeve, Major Gildersleeve, asked if he could ride out and check it out. And it turned out that Gildersleeve knew Fanny Secor from – they had been schoolmates. And he recognized her and then introduced himself, and then she recognized him. And he arranged for troops to protect the house that night and actually for General Schofield to use that as his headquarters for that night. So she got a good night's sleep that night.
Amazing.
But the following day after the troops left, the bombers arrived, and they didn't touch the house, fortunately. But they did burn down her barn, took five horses, and burned down the gin house. The gin would be the cotton gin house.
Yes.
And so she lost quite a bit at that point. Well, anyway, about three decades later, she filed a claim, and down in Johnson County, they have a document that is her claim that was in front of the House of Representatives. And given the timing, it's very possible that she was represented by an enrolled agent.
By an enrolled agent. So
yes.
That makes being an enrolled agent an extremely valuable, important position to have.
Yes. Now, the other interesting connection there is that when I lived up in Michigan, a friend of mine and I were going to do impressions of two of the generals from Michigan. He was going to do Wilcox, and I was doing Alpheus Williams. So I did do an impression of Alpheus Williams at one point and did quite a bit of research. So it's kind of interesting to come down to this area
Yes. And
see the connections that have occurred and happened. And
without even knowing. I know you're a big Civil War buff because when we see each other at meetings, you dress in the proper garb of the time of the Civil War. So what a fascinating connection to know that enrolled agents started way back then during the Civil War. That's
yes.
quite something.
Well, that's not the main connection there. I'm a volunteer at Bennett Place Historic Site, where the surrender took place about 2 weeks after Fanny Michener's incident. And I will be doing James Bennett at the anniversary of the surrender in April.
My goodness.
And it's a kind of an honor. And Bennett's important for a number of reasons. Maybe we can, if we have time, we can talk about that.
Yes, let's talk about that some more because that's quite fascinating. When we get to our next segment, let's go more into actually what you offer your clients, because now that we understand completely what an enrolled agent is and the importance of what you do, when we come back, let's talk about more what your office offers. This is Sharon Hill. You're listening to 1360 WCHL Today's Business. We'll be right back.
Get a kick when you click at chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. And now, back to today's business with Sharon Hill on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
I'm back talking with Mr. Pat Haggerty, an enrolled agent. Pat, in our first segment before the commercial break, you gave us a fascinating discussion of enrolled agents and how it related to the Civil War. To all our history buffs in the audience, that had to be just a fascinating discussion. But let's move on now and talk more about your business. Your business focuses on three services: income tax preparation, consulting and training services, and taxpayer representation. Let's start with income tax preparation. Do you help individuals and companies, Pat?
Yes. I work with individuals doing the individual income tax return, but I also get involved in what we call entity tax returns. So I've been involved in doing corporations, S-corporations, which is a small business type arrangement that has pass-through aspects, partnerships, LLCs, whether they're corporations or partnership type things, or even a single owner LLC, which would be essentially a sole proprietorship with some protections, and estates and trusts, and also not-for-profit organizations. I've worked with all of them.
And Pat, you keep them all safe from a tax standpoint, correct? As if you don't get them started, you cover the taxes. Is that safe to say?
Well, yeah. I can work with somebody who's looking to start up a business. I don't obviously, it's the lawyer's area, so I don't do the incorporation work or things of that sort, but can offer advice on the type of entity that they might want to set up and what the tax consequences are of the various types of business entities in terms of what's advantageous, what isn't, and how to contribute property to the business.
Contribute property.
Property to the business, yes. How you handle that is important from a tax standpoint.
Now, I haven't heard that term, contribute property. What
well, is when a business starts up, especially a proprietorship or a small business entity, or if a proprietorship converts to a corporate form or a partnership, usually the owners have some money or tools or other resources that they put into the business. And how that's handled from the business either owning the property or using the property is important distinction, even though it's like going out of the personal pocket into the business
right,
pocket.
Right, I see.
From an accounting standpoint, the two have to be separated, the business life and the personal life, even if they're really the same person.
I understand. Thank you. Well, let's go into the second part of your company, and that is the consulting and training services. For whom do you provide consulting and training services? What kind of customers are we talking about here?
Well, it varies. I recently did a training session or a mini seminar, I suppose. It was live. We had a leadership conference for the dance community called the Southeast Dance Leadership Conference. We had people from 14 states there and maybe 150 people.
Still impressive.
But we had, I did a session on nonprofit organization and internal control or financial control. And so we talked about the things that they should be doing. These people were dance organizers, dance callers, and musicians, primarily in the English country dance and in the contra dance communities.
Yes.
But there were a number of other Scottish country dance, Irish country dance.
Fun.
A few other groups that were international dance, a few other groups that were represented as well.
Did they find you or did you find them?
Well, I'm a member of the dance community. I'm a member of two of them. I do contra dancing and I do English country dancing.
What fun,
so,
my goodness.
Yes, it's a good exercise. It's a lot of fun.
Yes.
The muscles that hurt the most when you get done are the ones on your face.
From smiling.
So
I love
much.
It. Oh, that
and
must
I've
be fun.
And I've been known to go through 5 T-shirts during a 3-hour dance and not be able to carry my bag because they're so heavy.
My goodness. We'll have to see you do it one day. That'll be fun. Is there any place in the community of Chapel Hill someone can go watch, or Hillsboro, we can go watch?
Oh, yes, can? Yes. The English country dance is over in Durham at the Friedman Center on Thursday nights, 7:30. The Contra Dance, a lot of it is at the Carrboro Century Center, first Saturday night, second Friday night, and third Friday night. There has recently been a dance at the Hillsboro, at the Senior Center, the Orange County Senior Center out in Hillsboro, at the Sportsplex on the first Friday
I've been there.
Night.
Okay.
And there is a dance in Durham on the fourth Friday night at the Reality Center off of Gregson. Sometimes North Carolina State has dances.
This is, I never
and
knew.
It's all over the place.
This is something.
I would plan my trips from Michigan to Florida.
Based on?
With stopping in Atlanta, stopping on Louisville on the way back, stopping different places because there was a dance.
What a life. That sounds like fun. Before I get into the taxpayer representation, to me, the Mac Daddy of your services. Tell our audience how they can get in touch with you, Pat.
Oh, sure. My phone number is 919-636-3088, 919-636-3088. And my website is www.1040.com/P. Haggerty, mm-hmm. H-A-G-G-E-R-T-Y. So that's www.1040.com/P. Haggerty.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Let me, some other customers on this.
I did
a consultation for a CPA firm in Michigan that was concerned about the payroll aspects of a merger and whether they had to issue two W-2s, one for the old company and one for the new company.
Wow.
And how that successorship worked. And I thought the answer was easy until I got into the state, and then it became very complicated.
Yeah.
So I did a consultation on that and was able to provide them with the information they needed and the answer.
Good.
I also do webinars for a couple of different companies. One is BNA, the publishing house, BNA, Bureau of National Affairs, under the IOMA banner, IOMA, Institute of Management and Administration.
Okay.
And the other is Professional Business Publications, which does a number of things. Mostly the webinars are in payroll or accounts payable issues.
All right.
And I write, I do some writing. And I will be teaching special enrollment examination preparation course. I'll be doing that, and I'll do presentations on different topics related to tax or payroll.
Very good.
Or,
sounds like you're our
other organizations or groups.
You're our tax guy. Sounds like all the way through, you eat, sleep, and breathe this sort of stuff. Well, I know that we're going to talk later on about how you got into it and the importance of people using a professional for their taxes. But for right now, just tell us what probably terrifies most people about getting an audit from the IRS and how you can help.
Well, I don't know that I'm not quite sure what does. I think it's just a very scary type of organization.
Mm-hmm.
The tax authorities, of course, have the potential to relieve you of your wealth.
Very tactfully stated.
I think that's what's scary.
Scares people. Yes.
Yes, and the other thing that can happen is that. And probably the greatest danger, and people don't really understand this entirely, but if you lie to them, they can put you in jail.
Oh, dear.
So that's the perjury type thing.
Yes, yes.
I think some people think they can put you into jail for not paying your taxes, and the IRS doesn't generally do that. They generally go after you if you're lying to them about what's going on, so that's probably the bigger issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just dealing with somebody who has an opportunity or has the potential to take away money from you and assess it and is very effective at their collections situation. Also, I think people are afraid that if something is on the return that is not correct, they're going to owe a lot of money.
Yes. And then, like you said, so, they take what's the term you use for taking people's money away? They can do that.
Yes. And that's probably the really scary part there is that they have this power to
do that.
To take it.
Let's talk more about the IRS when we come back from our commercial break, Pat, because I think a lot of folks, you just taught me one thing already. They cannot put you in jail for not paying your taxes. Those are the kind of facts I think a lot of folks will find very interesting. You're listening to 1360 WCHL. This is Sharon Hill. I'm talking today to Mr. Pat Haggerty, enrolled agent. We'll be back.
Get a kick when you click at chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. And now, back to today's business with Sharon Hill on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
We're back. This is Sharon Hill talking to Pat Haggerty, enrolled agent. Pat, you were telling us about the IRS and some things that people just don't realize they can and cannot do. For example, you won't go to jail if you don't file your taxes. But if you tell a lie and they catch you, you could be in big trouble. Tell us, what kinds of clients do you have who call you for presentation? What kind of situations are they in that they need your help?
Well, there are a number of situations, but let me just make a slight clarification
there. All right.
Wesley Snipes is going to jail for not paying his taxes. There was a lot involved in that, and it was a very egregious situation. So it is possible that it could be to such an extent that it would become a crime.
Oh.
But normally, most people are not going to be in trouble with the Internal Revenue Service for that kind of thing.
Okay.
Now, state laws do vary. So there is a potential for a state to do things that the IRS will not do. So you do have to watch out for that as well. So with that little disclaimer, I'll go on and talk about a few of the situations that people find themselves in where they might need some help.
Okay.
One is what we call a non-filer. And this person, for whatever reason, has not filed tax returns for several years. And there can be a lot of reasons why that occurs. It could be that they just didn't get their information together. It could be that they were ill or involved in some sort of disaster situation or something like that. But they just find themselves in a situation where they didn't file their taxes. And this becomes very frightening for them because it sort of goes on from there. So, I didn't file last year, and maybe I can't file this year because if I file this year without doing last year. They're going to come and get me.
Yes.
And then it just keeps going like that. And finally, they get a letter or they realize that they need to do something and they come in to see somebody. Generally, what we can do there is get the tax returns prepared and filed and take care of them. In some cases, it's just procrastination. Or they continue to procrastinate, and sometimes they get a letter saying, we've already determined what your taxes should be,
oh,
and
my.
Guess what? It's a lot more than you think it ought to be.
Oh, that's scary.
And
Yes. Then
what the IRS has done is they've prepared a return based on the information they've gotten from W-2 forms, from employers, 1099s, from other payers,
okay.
Interest, dividends, brokerage accounts, and so on. And I've seen some people come in in one case, $3 million worth of gross proceeds from stock trades
over
a three-year period.
Oh, my gosh.
And, of course, he was playing with like $35,000 was all. So there was no way he had that much income. And, in fact, he had a loss each of the 3 years. But the IRS has no way of knowing that. So they were very anxious to get those tax returns so they could get the correct amount of tax and determine what his tax liability actually was.
Yes.
And I will say it's more important to file the returns than to pay the tax. So if you can't pay the tax, file the return anyway.
Yeah.
The penalty for late filing is 5% per month for 5 months. Penalty for late payment is only 0.5% per month, up to 25%.
I didn't realize that.
Yes. So the IRS is much more anxious to get the returns so they can determine the liability, and then they can start working with you on payment. But if they don't know how much you owe, they don't have anything to work with. And so they really want to get those returns in.
Now, what if you have money coming back, Pat? What if it turns out that you have a refund coming, but you were late in filing?
Well, if you do it within the three-year statutory period for claiming a refund, then you can get your refund. But if you wait until it's beyond 3 years, then the IRS says, gee, that's very nice, but you didn't file the tax return within the time frame. Remember, I was talking about claims to file for reparations.
Yes.
And that's what this is. It's a claim against the U.S. Treasury.
Oh.
And so what enrolled agents do is help people in their claims. But once that statutory period is passed, they don't
You're
have
out
to
of
pay
luck.
It.
Oh, my yeah. gosh.
But if you owe money, yes, you
Look
are
out.
Still going to have to pay that because the statutory period does not start running until this tax is assessed. And that would be a 10-year collection statute for the IRS. They have 10 years to collect the money if you've not paid.
10 years.
Yes.
All right, got it.
And that's an issue also that they have a long period of time to collect it. And, of course, if you never filed a return, then the statutory period doesn't start running on that. So the time for filing a
yes.
claim has passed,
right.
but not the time for paying
tax. For paying
tax.
Darn it. That's why yes. people are so afraid of the IRS. I can't imagine.
So non-filers is one area. Another area that I've seen quite a few situations is where what they call trust fund recovery situations. And trust fund means where a business is withholding payroll taxes from its employees' pay.
Mm-hmm.
And that money is the employee's money that the employer withheld to pay over to the government. It no longer belongs to the employer, even though it's still in the employer's bank account. It is somebody else. That's why it's called trust fund.
Oh.
Those are called trust fund taxes because they no longer belong to the employer. It was part of the employee's pay, withheld to pay over to the government, doesn't belong to the employer. The IRS gets really upset when employers do that because it's not the employer's money.
Yes.
If they pay somebody else, then you can have a situation where somebody's subject to what they used to call the 100% penalty. In other words, a corporation, for example, does not perform acts. Its agents perform acts. So whoever was responsible for making sure that those tax or could have been responsible for making sure that those taxes got withheld and paid to the government and had knowledge that they hadn't been could be personally liable, despite the corporate veil, personally liable for payment of those unpaid payroll taxes. And I've seen secretaries from companies come into my offices, with a concern that the secretary is going to lose the home because she was contacted as a potentially responsible person for a corporation that didn't pay its taxes and owes something like $400,000.
Oh.
So we're talking somebody who makes, you know, $20,000, $25,000
a year.
And they're talking to this person about a $400,000 tax liability. So in that situation, my job would be to determine whether they are, in fact, a responsible person. And they had to be able to do something about it and be able to actually pay it and have knowledge that it wasn't paid. And in most cases, like the secretary, for example, this person was not in a position to actually make sure the funds got paid to the right place. So those are fairly easy to get relieved. We just have to, you know, but it's such a scary thing for a person.
Sleepless nights.
That it's kind of nice to have somebody in between you and the revenue officer who's trying to collect it. And so those are kind of gratifying when they work out that I can help somebody.
They must love you.
Yeah,
you're their champion.
Not have to worry about that coming back at them.
Oh, goodness.
So that's another kind of that's a collection situation. In other collection situations, people actually owe the money. And what we do is make sure that the IRS is not stepping out of line in terms of their collection efforts. And helping them work out an installment agreement, helping them show their financial ability to pay. And in some cases, I've been able to have clients, the IRS determines that they're not currently collectible, which means that the liability doesn't go away, but the IRS stops trying to collect it. And they'll periodically check back and see if the client situation has changed.
Okay.
And if they're able to pay. But it stops all the notices. It stops all the worrisome type stuff. And in one instance, I had a client in that situation, and the client needed to refinance the home. And, the IRS had placed a lien on the home, which is automatic anyway,
right,
but they actually
money.
Perfected it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and negotiated with a revenue officer to get the lien lifted long enough for them to refinance the house and subordinate the IRS's claim to the bank so that they would make the loan so that the client could continue to pay for food.
For food? You've got to eat? Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, well, they were already uncollectible, so you know the income was pretty low at that point.
Oh, my. Well, once again, you've got to be the knight in shining armor for these people. My goodness, Pat. Well, let's take another break. And when we come back, I'm going to be asking you what other advice you have for people who want to do their own taxes. So stand by. This is Sharon Hill, 1360 WCHL. I'm talking to Mr. Pat Haggerty, enrolled agent. Thank you for listening.
Get a kick when you click at chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. And now, back to today's business with Sharon Hill on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
This is Sharon Hill, and we're back. I'm talking to Mr. Pat Haggerty, enrolled agent. Fascinating gentleman, fascinating stories. Pat, in our last segment, you were telling us if you have to do anything with your taxes, at least file your taxes. If you do nothing else, file your taxes. But what other advice would you like to give people who want to do their own taxes?
Well, that's an interesting question for me because before I started doing tax work, I couldn't figure out why anybody would go to a tax professional. And there's a couple of stories involved in that. But essentially, it's read the directions. and if you don't really know, ask for help. And I've had a number of people come in who have had returns that were, they self-filed, but they didn't know what they were doing. They just stuck some numbers in. And of course, the IRS wrote back to them and said, this can't be right. and almost told them to get some help. And it cost quite a bit more because it wasn't just a matter of doing it right. It was a matter of explaining what was wrong the first time and then getting the IRS to remove what was reported that was incorrect from what they had on their system.
Oh, my goodness.
So and get it reported in the right place. So it if you file it incorrectly and we have to fix it, We've got a lot of explaining to do. It's a kind of a case of you can pay me now
or pay me later.
Yeah. There's no reason why people can't prepare their own tax returns except for the complexity of the tax law. So if you've just got a basic, simple return and you're comfortable doing it, that's great. But I have to tell you about my father.
Tell me about your father.
Yeah, my father was an engineer. And he always did his own taxes until I started preparing taxes. And then he thought, well, I'll have Pat do them so that, you know, maybe I can help Pat out a little bit. But anyway, my dad would tell people the story after that. He never did his own taxes again after that. But the story he would tell was that before Pat started doing tax returns, I would spend 3 days laying all my stuff, all my records, out on the dining room table and putting everything into stacks and organizing it. And then I would spend the next 2 weeks cussing at the directions.
This is what you would do. This is your dad would do.
That was what my dad would do.
My dad would do. Okay.
Yes. He said, now I spend 3 days sorting all my stuff out on the dining room table. I take it over to Pat, and in 2 hours it's done.
It's done. Voila.
Yeah. So it's when it gets to the point where you find yourself spending more time than it's worth to you to get it done, then you might want to consider consulting with a professional on it. There are other situations in which you may want to do it. For example, the earned income tax credit for low-income people is a complicated issue, and you may want to talk to somebody who's got some experience with that so that you don't get into a problem with claiming that because there are some repercussions of it, related to that.
I can imagine. Your poor dad cussing at the paper. That's a funny one. My goodness, you saved him. Well, now that we know that, let's move on to talk about you and specifically what fascinates you. And I understand you write a column called Ask Professor Payroll. Tell us about it.
Yes, it's like Dear Abby for payroll professionals. I write for a publication published by BNA. Called the Payroll Practitioners Monthly, and I write an article, and then I've been writing this column since 1998. And it's essentially a question and answer column where we get questions, and I research them and answer them. So It could be something simple like how do we calculate the amount of overtime when we've got multiple pay rates, to something like how do we handle the W-2s in a merger situation where it might be complicated. So it's just a sort of an advice column.
And you're the man to go to for those answers.
Well, it seems that way.
I can't believe it.
Yes.
How do you stay current, Pat? How many classes or courses do you have to take a year to be able to stay current on all the changes, maybe answer these kind of questions?
Well, I have a couple of other certifications. So I generally take I'm required to take an average of 24 hours in federal tax every year by the IRS. The association I belong to requires that I take 30 hours of continuing professional education each year. But I belong to three such organizations, and the requirements don't always overlap.
Oh, dear.
So I generally end up with in accounting and other areas, I generally end up with better than 100 continuing professional education hours each
per
year.
Per year.
Per year.
Oh, my.
And I do I also teach, and you were going to ask about that. That's
yes.
kind of where the professor part comes from.
Yes.
I've been an academic. I was a full-time instructor at a community college for 12 years. I was part-time before that, and I'm part-time after that of teaching both online and face-to-face classes. I'm currently teaching for a local community college, Vance Granville.
Sure.
And have had some really good experiences with that. But that's adjunct part-time, so my full-time profession is my practice.
So you stay busy is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
I love it. Chapel Hill, what brought you to Chapel Hill?
I'm following my wife around
following
the country.
Following your wife.
Yes, she's an academic also. She teaches dentistry, and she was teaching at the University of Florida. She had taught at the University of Michigan, went into practice, and then when she sold her practice and moved south to take care of her aunt and uncle who were getting older. And she started teaching for the University of Florida. Now she's teaching at UNC.
Oh, so she's at UNC, and that's what brought you into Chapel
right.
Hill then. So
right.
how do you love Chapel Hill?
Oh, Chapel Hill is beautiful. Yes, and the people are great.
I always call it the south side of heaven because everyone I talk to, just including myself, there's something about Chapel Hill that's so special. And your business is located in Chapel Hill.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Office in Chapel Hill.
Thank you. Tell our audience one more time how they can contact you, please, Pat.
Well, my phone number is 919-636-3088. That's 919-636-3088. And the website is www.p haggerty, H-A-G-G-E-R-T-Y, www.1040.com/P Haggerty.
Got it. Therefore, folks can find you with no trouble at all. You're a member of the Chapel Hill Chamber and the Hillsboro Chamber, as well as Leeds Groups?
Chapel Hill Chamber of Commerce, Chapel
yes.
Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce.
There we are.
And the Chapel Hill Leeds, the Hillsboro Leeds, and I've been involved in the Durham Leeds as well.
My goodness. How have these groups benefited you?
Oh, well, as somebody who's fairly new to the community, it's been just 2 years, I think. I have met all kinds of people through that and made all kinds of interesting contacts. One of the great benefits, well, I've received some referrals from all of the organizations, but one of the great benefits is that I now know a whole bunch of people who, when I need services, I know who to contact. And I did have a situation where we needed an appliance replaced in the house, and because there were no appliance repair people at the Leeds meetings, I didn't know who to call. And it was really disconcerting because for everything else so far, I've been able to contact somebody where I needed somebody for something.
It's like your built-in referral system right there, anything that you need right there
exactly.
in those groups. And you're
exactly.
a member of so many. That's the Chapel Hill Leeds Group, Chapel Hill Carrboro Leeds Group, Chapel Hill Leeds Group, Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce, Hillsboro Chamber of Commerce, and the Hillsboro Leeds Group?
Well, I'm not a member of the Hillsboro Chamber of Commerce,
okay.
but I have been to some of their events.
Got it. Got it. Great community.
Yes.
Well, in the few minutes that we have left, is there anything else you'd like to just share with the audience? Anything about especially the IRS and why you're so confident you can take on the IRS, Pat, that which terrifies everyone?
Well, I attended a week-long, well, actually 3 years of week-long seminars, 1 week each year, on taxpayer representation specifically about that put on by the National Association of Enrolled Agents Education Foundation. And I am what they call a fellow of the National Tax Practice
Institute. Oh, my.
Which is means I went through those three weeks.
These classes. Okay.
And survived.
And survived.
Met all kinds of people from all over the country who do the same thing. And also enrolled agents are very helpful to each other. We don't necessarily view each other as competitors, but as colleagues.
Good to know.
And so we support each other in our efforts. So if I have a question or problem or an issue on how to handle something, I can call up somebody I know. And if they don't know, they can refer me to somebody they know who does. And we meet regularly and talk about these things.
Pat, it's been a joy talking to you. Thank you for coming and talking to me today.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you. You've been listening to Today's Business, 1360 WCHL. This is Sharon Hill. Thank you for listening.